Well, next Sunday, Father's Day. What a great day. We'll be in church honouring all the dads next Sunday. We'll have a gift for all the dads. We'll have some special morning tea for all the dads. We're going to have some man food. That's always a good deal. Only happens once a year, so make the most of it, boys. No salad on Father's Day. It's all good. Bring your dads. Bring your dads. And we'll bless and honour them. And just grab someone else's dad and bring them. And we'll have a great day together in church. We're also doing baby dedications. So if you'd like your toddler, your baby to be dedicated, it's one of the big events that we do through the year is on Father's Day and Mother's Day. We dedicate children to the Lord. And so if you want to be involved in that, and so if you haven't had a baby, you got this week to do it and get that done and delivered. Brooksy, you're probably in. That's good. And we'll be dedicating children to the Lord next Sunday. So sign up at the Connect Desk for that, and that would be awesome. We've got a new Prime Minister. Yeah, it happens. It happens in Australia on a regular basis. And hope that lot in Canberra get themselves sorted out. But the good news is we're not of this world. Turn to your neighbour and say, I'm an alien. You're not of this world is what the Bible says. So in terms of what happens there, yes, it affects us. Yes, it concerns us to a level. But God is on his throne, and that's what matters to me. He's on the throne. We're continuing. You ready to continue? Would you say continue? Continue. We're going to continue today talking about the journey. I think today we're probably going to pack it in after today because it's Father's Day next and we'll go into a different direction. So we'll continue. We will complete talking about the journey today. Life's a journey. That's what we've been looking at. Life is a journey. And our life of faith is also a journey. It's a long journey of following God. Many people in the room have been following God for decades, generationally even, have been following God. Some are only new on the scene. You're still trying to navigate stage one of that journey. Wherever you are on the journey, it's not wrong. It's just where you are. That's the deal, and it's important to understand that. We're all at different stages and places and seasons on this journey. God's got a journey marked out. That's what the Bible clearly teaches us. It says that he leads us and he guides us, he directs us through paths of righteousness. Hebrews talks about a race that he's marked out for us. The psalmist, David, talks about God having a path and the pathway to life. And so God's developed this sense and understanding of our relationship with him being like a journey. It's not a moment. It's something that has momentum and continues throughout our entire life following God. And so I've been encouraging people to take their next step in the journey. Never to stop. Never just to set up camp. Never to think you've arrived. We're always learning. We're always growing. We're always stretching. There's always more when it comes to our relationship with God. And so we're here to build life. We're not just here to live it, we're here to build it. We're here to leave a legacy, we're here to influence for good, and we're here to do good things that God has prepared for us to do, the Bible says, in advance. And so the big question we started with is, are you living and are you doing the good things that God has predetermined and pre-prepared for you to do in advance? Are you doing those good things as you journey with God? And so this life, this journey that God has for us, it's a life full of challenge. It's full of conquest. The Bible never said it would be easy. It said it would be good. There's a difference between easy and good. If you want life easy, you're probably not going to journey with God. If you want a good life and live the good life, you definitely need to be journeying with God. However, it's a life of struggle. There's no doubt about that. Being a believer and having faith means that there's a struggle because there's a tension. There's a tension between this world and God's world, between the life the world wants us to live and the life that God wants us and calls us to live. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 2. It's actually verse 6. I wrote verse 5 because I was a little bit keen. It's verse 6 where it says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus, in other words, just as you began the journey, you expressed faith in him, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue, here's the key word, continue to live your lives, note these two words, in him. In him. Everyone say in him. In him. We live our lives in him. I want you to know it doesn't say for him. We live in him. So we live out of a relationship and a connection and an abiding presence of God in our lives. We're not living for Him, we're living in Him and out of that connection and relationship we have. So in other words, our journey with God is a process, it's not a project. It's not a matter of just getting someone saved, it's a matter of seeing them saved. Continuously. It's a matter of them becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of coming to church or a religious gathering and putting up your hand and saying yes to Jesus. That's a good place to start. That's the entry level. That's faith 101. That gets you connected with God, and that's important and vital. However, what's more important is that it's kind of like a marriage. I marry people because it's what I do as part of my job, and I've stood in front of so many couples and heard them say, I do, and I've seen all the anxiety and build-up and preparation there is for that moment of saying, I do, and how beautiful the bride becomes. No, I shouldn't say it like that. How much preparation the bride puts in to becoming that beautiful bride and the groom and all the expense and the invitations that go out. And so much is invested in that few hours of just beginning the journey. But how many of you know it's a lot more than just that day? You're going to wake up next to that person for the rest of your life. Scary thought. Scary thought. Every Christian counselor says that to a young couple when they say, we want to get married. And it's kind of like, look at each other, because you're going to be looking at each other for the rest of your life. That's what you're going to be doing. So it's not a matter of just this I do business. That's important to do that. But it's important the life you live afterwards. That's important. And the same with Jesus. Paul says, just as you received Christ Jesus and said I do to Him, continue to live your lives in Him. Now, Paul wrote these words to a church that was under the influence of false teachers. They're called Gnostic teachers. And they were teachers that thought they had their own revelation of how the whole faith thing works, and they had some human philosophy thrown in there and some kind of what we would call New Age kind of teachings in there, and a little bit of a mixture of that and the Christian church's teachings, and it was potentially derailing the church and damaging the church. So Paul writes to them and says, hey guys, understand you received Jesus Christ as Lord. Now continue to live your lives in Him and don't get caught up in this vain deceit. Let no one deceive you through empty philosophy that comes from this world. You started in Christ, now be completed in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that needs to be mixed to it. There's nothing that needs to be added to this message, whether it's positive thinking or a sales pitch or whatever you might think it might need. It doesn't need anything. All it needs is a proclamation of the cross of Jesus Christ and the love of the Father for this world. That is the gospel contained in a nutshell, and that's why it's called the good news, because it's got nothing to do with you and I. It's got everything to do with Him. And so Paul says, just as you received Him, continue to live your lives in Him. So when we placed our faith in Christ and believed Him and received Him, what Paul's saying is, hey, that's not the closing ceremony. That's just the start. It's not the closing ceremony. It's not deal done, go home. It doesn't mean everything about your life is automatically right. You're still the same person in terms of, you know, who you are. After you put your hand up and say yes to Jesus, you're still the same person. You still have the same kind of attitudes and habits and everything. And there needs to be a process of God, I guess, dealing with us. And so we're a process. We're not a project. It doesn't happen in a moment. So my first big thought is that God is a God of process, not a God of project. Our journey with God is a matter of process, not project. So when we enter our relationship with God, we enter process. We start in this process of life change that happens as we stay connected with Jesus Christ. So we're not perfected instantly. I wish we were. I wish when people put up their hand and said yes to Jesus Christ, that there was something magic that took place. There is something supernatural that takes place, but there's nothing magic that takes place. It's not abracadabra, all of a sudden you become a totally different individual. You remain the same individual until you allow God to address the issues of the mind and the issues of the heart and the issues of who we really are in our core. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says in Where am I going? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, it says, this means, Paul's talking about his new life in Christ, he says, this means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. You can read that verse and you can think that that means that there is this magic thing that takes place where you become a new person. What it means is your old life has gone in terms of your being bound to sin. What it's saying is before you came to Christ, you couldn't help but sin because sin is what you do. But after you come to Christ, you become a new person. Now you don't have to. Now you have choice. Now you have choice. You have a choice to pursue righteousness and right living, or you have a choice to sin. And this is the truth of what Paul is unpacking, and it's important for us to understand, because the reality is when you put your hand up, you still got the same old patterns, you still got the same old habits, you still got the same old attitudes, you still get tempted, you still lust, you still desire things you shouldn't desire, you still get angry, you still have that same stinking old bad temper if you had a bad temper, because you still are the same in terms of that nature that you've had for so long, until you go through this process of change with God, with the Holy Spirit, because we are in process. It's not a project where it all just happens when our new life begins. So walking with God in this journey can sometimes be a little bit discouraging. Like when you go on a journey or a holiday and you got the kids in the back of the car, as we said last week. The kids are in the back of the car. And see, kids are kids. Kids don't understand journeys. They understand destination. So when you live in Victoria, like we used to live in Victoria, we lived in Ballarat, and we tell our kids we're going to see grandma and granddad, we're going to the Gold Coast or whatever, all they think is destination. They think get in car, arrive. Mum and dad know it's about 24 hours. Mum and dad understand it's going to be some pit stops. Mum and dad understand it's going to take a while to get there. Kids don't. And so from the cry of the back seat, that cry comes, are we there yet? Continuously, over and over again. It's a little bit like that with God. We're like kids. In actual fact, the Bible calls us sheep. You ever notice how stupid sheep are? They really are. And the Bible says we are like sheep. And it's like we're crying to heaven continuously. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, you're not there yet. Let's just keep on the journey. Let's be patiently following God. I think much of the frustration that happens in the lives of believers and discouragement happens because they really don't understand what Paul teaches here about this journey of following God, about it being a process that takes a long time. And much of the frustration with faith comes because it doesn't happen as quick as we think it should for somebody else or for us or for our partner or for our friends. And why did they change? And why are they not changing as quickly as I think they should change? Because they're in process and you just need to leave them alone. Turn to your neighbor and say, leave them alone. Some of you didn't do that with enough passion. Say, leave them alone. Leave them alone. They're in process is what they're in. So we misunderstand terms like somebody got saved today. Well, what's that mean? It just means they entered process. They've just entered the journey. Someone could think, well, I'm saved. If I'm saved, why am I frustrated? If I'm saved, why am I not perfect yet? Why am I still getting tempted and tested? Why is forgiving people so hard? Because being saved is a process. It's not a project. So in terms of being saved, Ephesians 2:8 says this. It says, God saved you. So that's past tense, right? For many of us, that's true. God saved you when by His grace you believed, and you can't take credit for this, it's a gift from God. So we're saved in the past at some point when we came into relationship with God through Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and we had our sins forgiven. So there's a past tense in terms of salvation. Then there's a present tense. Same writer, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, he says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. So there's a sense here that our salvation is happening on a daily basis. The Message Bible says it even better. It says, even though on the outside it often looks like we're falling apart. Anyone have that sense about their life? It's falling apart on us. He says, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. Not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. So we've got past salvation, we've got present salvation, a present tense to it where we are being daily saved. And then we have a future tense in terms of salvation where Peter says, God protects, or his power protects you through your faith until salvation is shown to you at the end of time. So there's this future sense of salvation for us also. So the thought is, I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will finally be saved. I have, I am, and I will be. So it's all about a journey. It's all about this sense of continuing all the days of our lives. So I'm loved by God. I can never be more loved by God. I'm forgiven by God. I can never be more forgiven than I am right now. I am changed, but God will continuously change me. He is continuously changing me. Ultimately, until he will complete me, in the meantime, I'm in process. And this is what we all struggle with, because we want it to be a project. We want it to happen, and we want it. When do we want it? Now. But God is patient. He's a God of order. He's a God of process. And we struggle with process. The good news about that is this. In terms of struggle, the struggle is actually a sign that you're in process, that you're on the journey and you're walking with God. When you struggle with your sin, when you struggle with your nature, when you struggle with your habits, when you struggle with your issue, when you struggle with your challenge, it's actually a sign you're in process because you're struggling with it. Our problem with struggles is this, is we get mad at ourselves when we go and do a lap around our issues again. A lap around that same mountain. A lap around that same problem. A lap around that same sin, that same failure. Anyone in the room, don't lift up your hand. Maybe lift up your neighbor's hand. Anyone in the room ever struggle with that sense of I'm lapping it again? Here I go again around and around this issue. The fact is, the more you walk with God, the more you will confront your issues and you will change. And the struggle is simply a sign that God is working in you and God is working on you to change. It's a process. And the good news about process is God is patient. He is patient. God is everything I'm not. Everything I'm not. And when I say I mean you. I mean you. I'm speaking on your behalf. I'm representing you. I'm accepting all the blame today. The fact is, when it comes to patience, I'm not. We're not patient. We're patient to a degree with some things, but we're certainly not patient with the process when it involves other people. Because we think they should be perfect. We cut ourselves slack, but we don't cut it for others. And here's what I want to do today, is I want to ask you to be patient with the people around your world, with the people that are in your world, because the fact is God is more patient with you and he's more patient with others than we will ever understand. God has got us in process. The thing about process is this, is don't disconnect while you're downloading. So you're downloading right now, you're downloading truth, you're downloading revelation, you're downloading the Word of God is what you're doing. And it's kind of like a computer. I don't know whether you've ever downloaded an update on a computer, but it gives you a warning. Don't disconnect. Don't turn it off while downloading. If you do, you muck it up. And like computers, we disconnect. We walk away. We give up. We lose faith. We lose trust. We lose hope. We lose patience because we don't really understand the power of process and what is taking place. And whilst downloading, it's easy to walk away. If you don't walk away, there will come a day when you go, wow, God, you've done so much in my life. You've done so much in my world. You've brought me so far from where I used to be, and I didn't even realize I was getting here, but I've arrived all of a sudden because I just didn't give up. I stayed connected and I kept downloading rather than switching off, shutting down, walking away, which is what oftentimes believers do. See, process is not an excuse. Process is actually an empowerment. So we don't stop just because we make a mistake. Anyone in the room ever made a mistake? Well, let's use the word the Bible uses. Has anyone in the room ever sinned after they've been saved? Probably. I think I'm preaching to the right people today. You look like those people. And it looks like, you know, that could be us today. Well, it's not an excuse to give up on process because you make a mistake or you sin. It's not an excuse also to make mistakes, and it's not an excuse to sin, but it's God's allowance in terms of his continued work on our lives to prepare us and to perfect us and to complete us through his ongoing grace. So you don't have to stop because of a setback. You don't have to walk away because of a mistake or a sin, because everyone is in process. And here's my plea: show grace to others because they are in process just like you are in process, and don't be judgmental on somebody else's journey and the process that God has them in. They are struggling, and the struggle is real. Yeah. It's real for every single one of us. Thirdly, we need to embrace and enjoy process by living in Jesus and not for Jesus. I love this thought. By living in Jesus and not for Jesus. You know, the truth about God is more relational than he is task-orientated. He's more relational than he is task-orientated, which kind of hurts me a little bit because I'm more task-orientated than relational. So for a task-orientated person to understand a relational-orientated person is a big challenge. And so to understand God, I've really got to unpack a lot of who I am to understand who God is and how God works and how God operates. Because God is relational. We're called to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. Now, I get it if God just says, go there and do that. Because I'm task-orientated. So give me a job and I'll do it and I'll do it well. But loving the Lord my God with all of my heart, my soul, and my strength, that's relational language. That's huggy stuff. That's like, you know, holding hands. And that's like, you know what I mean? You get the huggy people in our church, like Leanne over here and Lloyd. Leanne is huggy. And, you know, when she and Lloyd first came to our church, and they were the new people. They were the new people hugging everybody, which is kind of awkward because they walk around hugging everyone. Everyone in our church is going like, who are you? Like, who comes to church and hugs everybody? Well, Leanne does. Why? Because that's a language. That's a language, see? That's how she operates. Relational. Very relational. So when Leanne comes to you and hugs you, can I just suggest, it's no good pushing her away because she ain't going to go away. It's like God. He says, love me with all of your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. In other words, come on, give me a hug, big fella. That's what God's saying. Just let me embrace you. Come and hold me. Come. You know, the Bible says when Jesus called his disciples, he called them to be with him. To be with him. Not to come to his meetings. Not to buy the CD of the month. Not to sell anything to them. Not to sign them up to a program. Just come and be with me. So in other words, boys, just come and journey with me. Come and walk with me. Come and talk with me. Come and sit with me. Come and eat with me. I'll even cook the food for you. Don't you love those people? I'll even cook the food for you. And that's the life they live when it was talking about discipleship. Is it any wonder that discipleship today is kind of walked away from by many believers because all they see is the instructional nature of discipleship, not the relational nature of discipleship. And both go hand in hand. God has relationship with us so he can instruct us and change us and move us, as opposed to just instructing us, changing and moving us and then having relationship. It says, for God so loved the world. Give me a hug, big fella. He loved the world. He hugged the world. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't come with the instruction. He sent the relationship. He sent his son into the world. And we need to understand this so much about the heart of God, that God is such a relational person. Such a relational person. He doesn't really need us for the task. To think that God needs us for the task is to overstate our value and our importance and to diminish the value and the importance and the power and presence of God. God doesn't actually need us for the task, but he involves us in the task. It's kind of like oftentimes a father doesn't need a son for the task, but he takes a son on the journey to help the son become a man. Because oftentimes when you involve your son, it just slows you down. Until he's about 17 or 18 and actually lift heavy things and do something. You know, when they're younger, when they're 12 and they're 13, do you remember when you were 12 and 13 and you were so clumsy and nothing worked, and your arms were longer than your legs, and you couldn't, your momentum and movement was awkward and funny, and holding tools and power tools and doing all those things, you know, with your dad or an uncle or somebody was just awkward. That's kind of what it was like back then, and remembering that phase of life, you're just awkward and you're useless in a sense, but the uncle or your dad involves you because they're discipling you, they're mentoring you, they're developing you, they're training you, they're giving you opportunities. Anyone in the room that's ever employed an apprentice, you never employ an apprentice and on day one they walk in and they're just like, wow, who is this guy? Who is this girl? They are amazing. They are incredible. Day one and they're a tradesman. No, they're an apprentice. They're an apprentice. You know what an apprentice does? When I first started working, and I first started working in a bank. So I was like an apprentice in a bank. And so I worked in the pit. It was called the pit because it was a three-level bank and I was down in the bottom, in the bottom of the bank. I was a batch clerk, simply meaning all the deposit slips and whatnot would come down and on my little batch adding machine, I was a whiz, absolute whiz, down there learning how to do that. But you know what they taught me to do first of all? Was make coffee. That was my job, make coffee. Make coffee. Learn how to make coffee for the boss just the way he wanted it, the accountant just the way he wanted it, the tellers just the way they wanted it, the ledger girls the way they wanted it. They didn't bring me in day one and put me in charge of the money. I wanted that. Wanted that. But it didn't happen day one. It didn't happen day two. It happened as I journeyed. You know, there are some things in life God is just not going to give you authority over and accountability for until you can handle it. I never gave the keys of my car to my son or my daughters until they could handle it. I haven't given it to them yet. Because I want to make sure they can handle it. I remember my dad giving me the keys to his car once. I say once because it only happened once. Because where we lived, we lived in Gladstone, small town, and we lived backing onto a school, a college. And the lap down to the main road was probably about half a kilometre, and then a kilometre along, and a kilometre up to the petrol station, and then a kilometre back home. Dad said, can you take my car and fill it up with fuel? First time ever. Dad's car. Jumped into the car. And let's just say gave it a little bit of stick. All the way home. Well, guess who heard it all the way? Dad. Last time I drove his car. Because kind of like irresponsible. And there are just some things in life. I say that lesson for every 17 or 18 year old in the house. Just to warn them. Father's watching. Mother's watching. Don't do what the pastor did. Drive safely. Irresponsible. I lost my license once. Just coming home from church. Coming home from church. But I wasn't the only one that got booked that night. The pastor's wife got booked. Like about three or four people got booked. All by the same police just down the road from our church in Gladstone. Where have you been? Church. Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, they believe you've been to church. Doesn't change it. Like, if you say you've just been to church, it doesn't actually change the fact you're going to get a fine or not because you've done the naughty. And so you're going to get the fine. It's process. It's process. You know, when I came home, my parents didn't throw me out of home because I lost my license. They just said, well, suck it up. 3 months without your license, you can look at your car sitting in the front yard and you'll have to find some way to work. And you learn your lessons. The trouble is we want to throw someone out when they lose their license in church. We want to throw them out when they get booked. We want to tidy that project up. And I love tidying projects up. I hate unfinished projects. You come to my home, I've got lots of unfinished projects. Unfinished projects everywhere. I don't like unfinished projects. But the fact of the matter is, we're all unfinished projects. Everyone around here has got a sign around their neck saying, I'm unfinished, leave me alone. God's still working on me. He's still got a long way to go. And so let's be gentle in terms of judging the grace that God is giving to other people and make sure we give the grace that God is giving to other people also and allow them to continue the journey and not feel the heat of judgment because it will make people walk. It makes people walk. And God doesn't want us to walk from faith. He wants us to continue while we are downloading is what God wants us to do. And that's why Paul says, just as you receive Christ Jesus, continue to live your lives in Him. I want you to note this whole life of relationship with God the Father, with Jesus Christ His Son, and with the Holy Spirit. It's not about an it, it's about Him. It's not a thing, it's a person. It's not a principle, it's a person. It's not a program, it's a person. It's not a position, it's a relationship that God wants to have with us. God just wants us to be with Him, walk with Him, talk with Him, eat with Him. In all of our everyday life, involve Him. He doesn't want to be a Sunday morning God or a Sunday night God or a Wednesday night God. He wants to be an every night God and every day God and every morning God and every moment God is what He wants to be. Continue your lives in Him. Psalm 23, which you all know, puts it this way. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. Have you walked that darkest valley yet? We're all going to walk it. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, or the shadow of death is what the King James and New King James Version call it. The writer says, I will not be afraid. Why? Because you're close beside me. Thank God He's close beside. Thank God He's there like a shadow. You're close beside me. It says your rod, your staff, symbolic of His Spirit and His Word. Your Spirit and your Word, it says they protect and they comfort me. And surely your goodness. Let's focus on that word for a moment. That's the same word that was used when Moses cried out to God, let your glory pass by me in the book of Exodus. And it says that the goodness of God passed by him. The goodness of God passed by him. You know, the goodness of God is passing by us all and walking with us and journeying with us. And because of that, it says His unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. We need to know what and who we live in. What and who we live in. And Paul says, live in Him. Continue to live in Him and continue to live, the psalmist says, in the house of the Lord forever. So next time you lap around your thing, your challenge, your issue, whatever your thing is, whether it's a lack of discipline, a lack of accountability, a lack of financial control, a lack of patience, a lack of principle, whatever your lack is, shift your attention from it to Him. Shift your focus from it to Him, and He will take care of it, because He will be building something inside of you which will help you to grow, outgrow it. It's His work in us as we abide in Him. See, the world says you've got to finish what you start. But the fact is, you never started this faith walk. He did. Yeah. And you can't finish what God has already finished. You can't complete what God has already completed. If it was up to us to start it, we'd still be far away from God. Because the Bible says no one can come close to the Father except by the Son. No one. He starts it, He finishes it, He completes it. He came near to us, He found us, we didn't find Him. He sent His Son, the Bible says, while we were still sinners and separated from Him. That's why Paul says, and I keep saying, so then just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Notice it doesn't say for Him, it says in Him. You know, there's a big difference in living in Christ than trying to live for Christ. It's a totally different energy trying to live for Him as opposed to living out of that relationship and connection and faith and trust that you have in Him. One is task driven, the other one is relationship driven. Living in Jesus is much easier than trying to live for Jesus. You can't live for Jesus, actually, unless you are really living in Jesus. Unless you live out of that devotion and connection and abiding relationship that He offers to every one of us. So it's not about a destination. This is a journey. It's a journey. It's a long journey. And He is the destination. And the same grace that started this relationship is the same grace that carries us through every moment of the journey, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that darkest valley. It's that same grace. And His rod and His staff, His word and His Spirit, they will comfort you and protect you. And His goodness will follow you all the days of your life. I want you to notice this verse here in Colossians 2:6. It's not a command in terms of if you claim to know Jesus, then you better be living the life that he called you to live. It's an invitation. It's an invitation. Where Paul's saying to the church in Colossae, come on, who started this? Who started it? When you placed your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, it was started because of that fact that Jesus died for you and you put your faith in him. And now you need to continue living your lives in him. You don't need this philosophy. You don't need this humanistic thought and teaching and training and development to complete you. You're completed in Christ. Completed in him. And the journey is completed in him. So in other words, Paul's saying it's an invitation, it's a privilege. You don't have to. You get to. Can I have our team come to stage, please? You don't have to. You get to. You get to live in him. You get to live in him. You know, the reality of living in Christ means that you represent Jesus well. Because when you live in him, you understand you also live for him. You live in him, you live for him. The world says, finish what you started. God says, just continue what I've already finished. Continue what I've already finished. I died for you, I rose again. I've already declared over your life that you're forgiven and free. Now just continue to walk in this process I've called you to. Would you stand to your feet with me today? I've done this series because I really wanted to teach us about the journey. Because I see people fall away from the journey because they're frustrated with themselves, they're angry with themselves, angry with God, not understanding what's going on, and they just give up because they're trying so hard to live for Jesus and they can't work it out. So I've done this series to help us all understand that it is a journey, the value of the journey, and that the journey is all about process. And for you and I to understand we're in process, and so is the person next to us in process, and so is the person on the other side of the hall in process. And God is patient with you, and he's patient with them, and we need to be just as patient with ourselves and with them as God is with us. And not to give up in this process, because God will never give up on us. Paul says, as we read before in the Message Bible, even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. Would you close your eyes? I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for all of us today. I want to pray that on our journey, we wouldn't grow weary, tired, give up, walk away. But we go all the way, empowered by the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Empowered by the presence of God abiding in and on every single one of us. Empowered by the thought that the struggle is simply a sign I'm in the process. And if I'm not struggling, it doesn't mean that... If I'm not struggling, it means I've come to a point of not caring. So the struggle is real. The struggle is real because the struggle simply shows I'm walking the journey still. I'm walking the journey with God. Let me pray for you today. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray today for every single person in this room today. I pray, God, on our journey of knowing you and knowing you better, that we would understand the power and the value of process, that we would understand you're walking with us every day. Your empowering grace is with us every day. It's the same grace that started the journey that will continue the journey and ultimately complete the journey. And even though on the outside it might feel sometimes and it might look like everything's falling apart, on the inside where it really matters, where it really counts, in our spirit, you're making us new every day, day by day by day. Day by day. So I will follow you on this journey, and I will not look back. I will stay focused, and I will stay intentional, and I will be with you, God, and I will engage with you, and I will lean my heart towards heaven more and more every day. Help that to be our prayer, I pray, so that one day we, when we finish this journey, we can look back and say, wow, how far have we come? How far has my family come? How far have my friends come? Didn't realize we had traveled so far, and you've done so much in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing this anthem today, this last song that we sang. I want you to lean into heaven for a moment while we worship the Lord together to conclude our service today. Why don't you lift your hands and worship the Lord? Come on.